Hi everyone. So we are continuing our theme on the church and the Trinity today, looking again at Ephesians and the work of the Holy Spirit and how we relate to the Spirit. Ephesians was written by Paul, a Jew who was well versed in the history of Israel, and he saw in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ a second Exodus. The first Exodus, if you remember, was many years before, when the nation of Israel were held captive in Egypt and God raised up Moses to lead them out of captivity. They passed through the Red Sea on dry land and God led them through the wilderness, where they eventually reached the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. This was the inheritance God had for the nation of Israel. This is what God had in store for them. So in the second Exodus, instead of it being the nation of Israel being set free and led to the promised land, we, the people of the whole world, are set free through the work of Jesus Christ, with the promised land being the coming of God's kingdom, a new heaven, a new earth, the coming together of heaven and earth where everything is made new. And in light of all this, the church is the gathering of all those who have been set free by the good news of Jesus Christ, who hope for this coming of God's kingdom and who live their lives in expectation of it. The church is like the first gleam of a new day that is dawning. It's the future that God has in store, breaking out in the present, right here, right now. When people see the church, they should be seeing a vision of the future that God wants for everyone, everywhere. We are a small version of what will one day be everywhere. God's big dream is to be fleshed out in us, in the here and now. In Ephesians 1, it says, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance. And the Spirit is central, right at the heart of the church, and with us now, helping us to be that sign to the world of what God wants to happen one day, everywhere. We have been liberated and set free to worship God and follow him, and like the nation of Israel, were led through that wilderness by the pillar of cloud and fire by night. We are those who are led by the Spirit. We have been awakened to the life and work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our midst. If our lives are like a garden, then the Spirit is the gardener, planting new things, nurturing, watering, so that we produce fruit. And the fruits of the Spirit, well, we all know those, don't we? They are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. I always forget the last one. Self-control. But the gardener also has to prune, pull up weeds, prepare the soil, dig up rocks, so that this fruit is able to grow and can continue to grow. It's a good analogy for a lot of us been spending a lot of time in the garden, right? So here's another one. This is about decorating. So if our lives are like a room, the Spirit is like the decorator, who's not just concerned with the soft furnishings and the ambiance, but also the stripping of the wallpaper, the sanding of the skirting boards, repairing of the cracks. Romans 8 says this, for if you live according to the sinful nature, the nature that's opposed to God, you will die. You won't flourish. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. How do we relate to the Spirit? Well, God is relationship itself. We have God the Father, we have God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three in one. We've already talked about this a lot. But in a sense, the Father on his own is not God entirely. Likewise, the Son on his own is not God entirely, and the Spirit. It's only when they're in relationship with one another that they are God. Because our God is three in one. Our God is a Trinity. If you think about their names too, their relational names, the Father, the Son. God is relationship itself. Science today even tells us that everything is connected. Everything is connected through fields of energy. There's a theory that says a flap of a butterfly's wing in one country could cause a hurricane on the other side of the world. Creation reflects its creator, the one who sustains it and gives it life. Again, in Romans 8, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We are invited to participate in being God's children. We are being invited to join the family and to join the family business. And the Spirit is here to guide us, to help us, to comfort us, and to produce in us fruit that will last so that we can bring God's dream into reality here and now. So in practice, since God is a relational God, he is longing to be known. So much so, he may even speak through me today. How about that? But traditionally, there are many of what are called spiritual disciplines, such as prayer, fasting, meditation, Bible study, solitude, silence, simplicity, service, singing, that can help us to know God better and allow the Spirit to work in our lives. But I think as God's children, we are all very different, and we all have different ways of relating and different ways of expressing love and gratitude. I have two boys, and they're very, very different. And the way that I relate to them and the way they relate to me is very different. You know, God knows us better than anyone else. And I think however we express, you know, our love to him brings him a lot of joy. In fact, I think he probably loves all the variety. And we should never try and force other people to relate to God the way that we do. Because all that really does is build a barrier between that person and God. You know, some of us love to spend time worshipping through singing and find God there. Some of us like to pray for long periods of time. Some of us pray without any words. Some of us pray with lots of words and connect with God that way. Some of us see God in other people and serve them and help them as though they were serving God. And some of us love to give our stuff away. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. You know, let's not judge one another, but let's celebrate all the variety and the expressions and encourage one another in loving God, whatever that looks like. And likewise, we all hear the Spirit speak to us in different ways. You know, the still small voice through the Word, the Bible, sermons, podcasts, sung worship, conversations, art, culture, or out in creation. You know, let's not box God into what he can and cannot do. but let's encourage one another in finding God wherever he may be found. And this is Paul speaking in Ephesians 3. I am the very least of all God's people. However, he gave me this task as a gift that I should be the one to tell the Gentiles the good news of the king's wealth. Wealth no one could begin to count. My job is to make clear to everyone just what the secret plan is. The purpose that's been hidden from the very beginning of the world in God who created all things. And this is it. That God's wisdom in all its rich variety was to be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places through the church. The message says it this way: through followers of Jesus like yourselves, gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. You know, the Spirit is central in this task. Here are my three questions. Question number one. If someone looked at us as a church, would they see a vision of what God wants to do everywhere one day? Question two. What is the Spirit producing in us during this season? And what's the Spirit saying? Question three, what's the most surprising way that God has ever spoken to you? Okay, have fun, everyone.